from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Sad to say, it is true that there are many who do not face life with faith in God as their refuge and strength. They do not know what it is to begin, continue, and end every day and every undertaking in the name of the Lord. He is far from their thoughts. But the psalmist knew, as the self-study Bible commentary puts it, the psalm writer looks out serenely upon the vicissitudes of life from behind the walls of a fortress which assures him of absolute security. Those who are guided by this will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The believing child of God knows that in the midst of promises, in the midst of problems and in perils and discouragements, he need not sink hopelessly into self-pity or fear or lonely despair. He dwells with God, as the psalmist says, and he can rejoice in the comfort of the abiding presence of God with him, calling him my refuge, my fortress, my God. This is the blessed privilege of a friendship with the Almighty God, who gives assurance of his love, of his forgiveness for all the failures, and of his help in time of trouble. He wants to have this relationship with sinners, and it is for this that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for us and to bring us to himself. Through faith in Christ, we have reconciliation with the Almighty God, and we can turn to him in all of our guilt and our troubles as we hear his thrilling promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Psalm 91, we hear the wonderful witness of faith in which one poor and needy sinner gives her encouragement to another one with the words, the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will deliver you. His faithfulness will be your shield. The psalm speaks over and over again of deliverance from enemies and ills. The Christian praying the psalm is encouraged to continually look to the Lord for this by his sure knowledge, encouraged by his sure knowledge that he has overcome even the greatest of all evils and delivered us from that, from the curse of sin. Christ has saved us from the power of death, bringing life and immortality to light. He has saved us from the power of our enemy, Satan. When Adam and Eve fell away from God, it was Satan's plan that all their descendants should join him in his revolt against God and should abide with him forever. But from the beginning, God determined to set up a rival kingdom to Satan, to oppose this cruel tyranny and control of the devil, and to give people of faith victory over the kingdom of darkness. And that's why the Son of God came, to destroy the works of the devil and to lead redeemed sinners into eternal life and light. For that purpose, he was born, lived, died, rose, ascended, and will come again. Therefore, those who trust in Christ have won victories against sin and Satan, and expect finally to win the war. Christians are not sinless, but neither are they slaves of sin. We do grow in holiness and love, faith, and faithfulness. Satan allures us with many baits. He knows our weak points very well, and he is out to ruin us. But it is a glorious fact that human beings can win victories over devils. The Most High God delivers from these snares. We see that in the classic biblical case of Job, when the devil tried to shake him in his faith. Here was a sick, suffering man up against a mighty devil who could take away his possessions, cover his body with sores, and kill off his children. And yet Job had promises to rely upon, and he had inner strength from the Lord. And he made a fool out of the devil by his steadfast and patient faith. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. A great Bible teacher once said that there are two kinds of believers, the big godders and the little godders. Some people, said, have a little God, and they are always in trouble about Him. He can't do miracles. He doesn't intervene in behalf of His people. They have a little God, and I call them little godders. Then there are people who have a great God. He speaks, and it is done. He commands, and it holds fast. He knows how to show Himself strong in behalf of them that fear Him. Now, in that scheme of things, we certainly are big godders. We have a great God, and we are glad of it. Our God knows all and is all-powerful and is eternal, never failing, always doing great wonders. Our God has never made a mistake. He has never been surprised by anything that has happened because He knows all things from the beginning. He is the God who has made His love known in Christ. As He shows His love toward His children, no harm will befall you and no disaster will come near your dwelling. Now, this is not never land that's being described here. This is the world of the cross and of the thorn in the flesh, the same world that our Savior lived in when He applied this psalm. But it means that God will not let anything happen which does not work for the good of those that love Him. He often does prevent ills from happening at all, but no matter what happens, always He does not let the ultimate harm come to His beloved people. That's the teaching of providence. Many fascinating stories have been told about how tragedies were turned into blessings. And we've all heard some of these. One of my favorites is the story about the missionary who fell into the hands of cannibals. He said to the savage chief, "You won't like eating me. I don't taste good." And then he took out a knife from his pocket and sliced off a piece from the calf of his leg and gave it to the chief, who put it into his mouth and immediately spat it out. He didn't like it. The missionary was allowed to live and worked on the cannibal island for 50 years, bringing many to Christ. Now, he had used a piece of his artificial leg made of cork. Which replaced the leg that he had lost some years before. When that tragedy had happened to him, he had not at that time had the slightest inkling of how it would someday become a blessing to gain him entree among the cannibals. Sometimes the explanations of the Lord's purposes for tragedy do come to light, like in this case. Very often they don't. But no matter what happens, either way, the child of God can always rejoice and be cheerful over what God does tell us in His Word. Because he loves me, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Amen. So shall it be.